Good afternoon. It's Friday, September the 1st, 2017. We've made it to September once again. I'm Dave Thompson, Director of the Academy of Cleaning Excellence. There's three words on which I focus on each and every Friday afternoon. Those three words: healthy, positive, and proactive. Today, my guest is joining me live right here in the studio, as you can see, to talk to us this afternoon about the workplace and all of the issues that happen and how we must deal with those, and by all means, how to report and follow up. So, I want to welcome Raul Santiago. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So, let's tell the audience a little bit about who you are and how they can appreciate what you're going to talk to us about.
Yes, and thanks for having me. So I am a consultant for Paychex, and we assist small businesses with solutions such as payroll, labor compliance, HR, and workers' comp insurance. After 4 years with Paychex, my typical client has ranged from, please keep me out of jail with the IRS, help me with these workers' comp audits, and just help me develop my business, help me grow.
You know what, I hope there's nobody listening in the audience today that's wanting to stay out of jail, but maybe you're the guy to help them. That's what you said. I'm going to go with that. You know, I had a small business of my own. Nobody taught me. Nobody consulted with me. Maybe there were people like you around then, but nobody, I wasn't aware of it.
Yep.
But I did know that I need workers' comp insurance, but I didn't understand anything about it.
And a lot of business owners don't. I mean, I'd say 8 out of every 10 just know that they need it because there's a big job coming up. They want a job bid and they need it. They want to get that big check after doing the job. But really, they don't understand what it is. And workers' comp insurance is a state mandated insurance that you must have by law. In the state of Florida, for example, in the construction industry, once you have one employee, you must have it, even prior to the job bid. So please understand that. In non-construction, once you reach 4 employees, you must legally have it as well.
So we're talking about every state in the union. We're not talking about just Florida, correct?
Correct, yeah. Every state has their individual laws. And yes, in every state you must have workers' comp insurance. Also, to go back to the definition of workers' comp insurance, most people just, you know, it's just, they know that it's something to help their employees. If they ever get hurt, it's an insurance that's going to pay for it. But today we're going to dig a little deeper into what
that's
it really is.
That's not the only thing. And I learned that in going through this with you. I've learned a lot myself. You know, every business that employs people have got to have it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Please explain.
So they all have to have this insurance, and, you know, it's going to cover your employees. When they have this insurance, it's something that is, you know, like I said before, you legally have to have it once you have 4 employees in the state of Florida, or 1 employee if you're construction-based.
So we're talking about small businesses. Generally today, this is what we're going to talk about. You know, small businesses getting started. You know, if you've already owned a business and you've got 100 people, you already understand all of this. So basically our conversation is going to revolve around that small business owner, first time owner, getting started. These are the things that you need to know, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And so you got the job bid, you know, where are you going to get a quote? Okay, so you're going to go to a commercial insurance agent, okay, or you can possibly go to different payroll companies that offer this as well. Paychex also offers this. And let's understand what the insurance agent is going to be requesting from you, the employer. They're going to request a couple things, okay? One is, what are your job duties? Okay, what exactly are you performing? What are your employees doing for you on a daily basis?
So, do I shop the dollar on the quote, or do I shop the provider? I mean, you know, I guess that's, I never did shop.
And that's a good question. So usually, you know, after you've explained what the job duties are, it's going to put you in a specific class code, and that class code has a specific rate.
So I would imagine that would be like if I'm cleaning windows on the first floor, or I'm cleaning windows downtown Orlando on the 36th floor.
Exactly it. So you have to be very specific with your insurance agent on what exactly you're doing.
Not just that I clean windows.
Not that you clean windows, exactly. How high? Is it outside? Is it interior? You know, what exactly specifically are you doing?
So in other words, if I'm running a floor machine or I'm riding an auto scrubber, that might even be a difference?
That's a big difference. Let's think about it like this. The more dangerous, you know, your job is, the higher the rate's going to be, the less dangerous, the lower the rate's going to be.
Well, I don't know. I've done a lot of walking on wet floors, and I'm not going to say that wasn't dangerous, too. I don't know. Maybe I'd rather ride the auto scrubber. But, hey, that's why you get a quote, and that's why we've got to give them the information to work with.
Yep, and I want to make it very clear. When you're getting a quote, please be aware that that quote should be the same wherever you go. Yes, depending on a few other things, but it's not going to work like a car. You know, when you're trying to get auto insurance and different companies are offering you different prices. When it comes to workers' comp, dependent, if you're honest with that rate with every single agent and on the amount of payroll that you have, you're always going to get the same exact rate.
Hold on, wait a minute. You threw another kinker in there. I just heard that. The amount of payroll. Now you added another layer to it.
That is true. So with payroll, it's going to be included as well. It's probably one of the most important parts of this. And it's going to be how much payroll do you estimate to have in a year? That is going to be the next question that the insurance agent is going to ask you. Find out what your job duty is. Now how much payroll do you expect to have for the year?
Okay, folks, I catch all these little words. You said estimate. So I guess that that's another key thing in this.
Yeah, when you're letting your agent know, I estimate, you know, $100,000 in payroll wages for the year, how exactly do you know the specific exact figure 12 months later? It's impossible to find out. So that's the beauty about this. It's a little difficult to understand. It's a little more complex than people think.
You might say it's the beauty of it. I'm going, it's the confusing part.
Yeah, but your premium will be based off of an estimate. Yes.
But this is right. We've got to know where we're going. So this is the proactive part of putting all of the things in place so that you get the right quote, so that later on you don't have penalties and interest, or as you led the program today, jail, which I'm not going to stay away from that.
We'll get to jail.
Okay, so I got a feeling we got to continue with other things.
Yeah, so it's based on how much W-2 payroll you have. So we have W-2, and then we also have subcontracting. Hold on. Let's classify what's a W-2 and what's a subcontractor, okay? Now your subcontractor is going to be someone that is another company. They have their own company, and you are contracting them out to either help you with a certain job, okay? Maybe they do something completely different than what, you know, the job that you're performing, or maybe they do what you do, but you need additional help, okay? Now that's your subcontractor. That's your 1099. Now your W-2. Now this person is going to be based off of the control that you have over them. So you're telling them when to clock in, you're telling them when to clock out, okay, when to go on break. Okay, they're using all of your equipment, majority of the income that they're making is coming from your company.
Right.
Okay, and so this means you have total control over this person. You know, it could be a part-time basis, full-time basis.
Right.
They're gonna fall into that W-2 category.
Okay, so that's the difference that I've gotta make when I'm estimating also is, are these people my full-time employees that I have control over? Or is this the person doing things that I can't do, or I'm not willing to do, or I'm not capable of, whatever it might be?
Yep. That annual payroll that you're estimating is going to be based off of how much W-2 wages you estimate for the year. Not all your subcontractors. The insurance company does not want to provide you a policy if all you're doing is paying cash to everybody you're doing business with. These are not your employees. If you guys remember, the workers' comp insurance is to cover your employees. Your employees means they're W-2s of your company.
So that's when we get into that rate figure, and that's a standard rate, as you explained to me earlier, across everywhere. Now, are different states, I'm sure, have different rates.
Different states have different rates, yes.
Okay, but in that state, it would be the same rate based on what we talked about.
Based off the job duties. For example, I want to point out a very popular class code here in my area, which is 9014. What is 9014? It is janitorial class code. For your basic janitorial, you know, you're cleaning, you're mopping, you're vacuuming, and so forth, that has a rate of 5.46%. No matter where you go in the state of Florida, that's going to be the rate with any agent and any other company that will provide you a quote.
Okay. And this is based off of that W-2 payroll?
Based off of that estimated W-2 payroll.
There he goes with that estimated thing again. See, every time I say one thing, he corrects me with something. That's why you're listening, folks, so you don't do what I did. You don't want to generalize. You got to be exact. That's why we've got him here. All right. So who gets insured on this? those 1099 people as well as the W-2?
And that's a great question. It's a very common question I get from my clients. What most insurance carriers believe in is the 80-20 rule, that 80% of your workforce is going to be W-2, no more than 20% be subcontracted out, which means they'll be covered on the policy.
I knew there had to be a blanket figure in there somewhere.
Yes. But please understand that 20% don't look at it as wiggle room. Again, we want to be very precise with our estimated payrolls on the W-2 and a subcontracted side.
So this is all based on that reporting that we've done. And I think this is where it's hard for us to say, who declares what? Is it the employee? Is it the subcontractor? Is it the business owner? Is it everybody? I mean, somebody's got to make the final word on this.
Another great point you've just made, Dave. So I want to make it very clear to the audience today that your employees or your subcontractors cannot let you know, or they can't tell you whether they're going to be a W-2 or a 1099. Mm-hmm. After you've taken into consideration, you know, the guidelines on whether somebody's going to be a W-2 or a 1099, then it's your job, your responsibility to decide how you're going to classify them. Okay, so they can't tell you what they're going to be.
Uh-huh. So that, again, here, you said responsibility. Since it's my responsibility as a business owner, it's my responsibility to classify them, and they can, I guess, either agree or disagree and stay employed or not.
That is true. If that employee or that subcontractor does not agree with the decision you've made,
right?
Please, the liability and the responsibility always falls back on you, the employer. So please always put that into consideration, no matter how good that employee or contractor may be. You got to always think about yourself and how long you want to stay in business.
Well, this is back to that prosperous business year over year.
Yep.
You know, I definitely want to be here. I'm not sure about the audience, but this can be a bit confusing. And I've always understood, long after I got out of the business, is that the IRS could have helped me with some of this classification.
Yes, they could. So after I explain the classifications or you know, how what we think is a W-2 or a 1099, and you don't believe me, you don't take my word for it, there is a document the IRS has, which is an SS-8. SS-8, if you complete that form, and you guys can see it here, it's a list of about, you know, 20 to 40 questions on that's going to help you decide and the IRS decide whether this employee or subcontractor is either. Whether they're W-2 or 1099.
So this is something they could have done before they came and visited with you to make your consulting time with them easier, the two.
Yes.
Okay.
But most of my clients aren't like that. We're more reactive. But if you want to take a proactive approach, please, that would be the best thing to even help yourself out. So you're not going to have to go backwards and have to talk to your employees and, you know, decide where they are after you're trying to get a quote.
Well, that's one of my three words, proactive. So
yes.
I had to throw that in there. Yeah, it's a live show. I know we didn't talk about that, but I want... Okay, so what are the other items that I could be proactively doing then?
Yeah, so once we've decided who's W-2, who's 1099, okay, we're going to put documentation, or we need to have documentation legally on our W-2s, which is going to be Form I-9, shows they're legal to work in the U.S., they have a valid Social Security number, okay? Next is going to be a W-4. Okay, and this is where it's going to show if they're single, married, any dependents. It's going to be their W-4 information, help decide, you know, how much an employer is going to withhold on their federal income tax.
Now you understand why I need a consultant, folks. I've already lost track about how many W-whats that I need. So,
And after 4 years, I mean, every day I learn something new. I know this is a lot of information, but I mean, let's at least pick up the basics to protect yourself.
Well, and as we said when we started the show today, Raul, you know, this is for that small business owner that's getting started. You know, this show is not just about cleaning, and I think that's why we have you on, is this is about how to run my business successfully from year to year.
Yep.
If I don't do all of this right, I won't be in business next year. Now, I don't want to jump ahead because I know you're going to talk about that, but you know, that's something that came, but I don't think we're finished with all the W's yet.
We have a few more W's, and in my opinion, this is probably going to be the most overlooked one, which is going to be your subcontracting. And your subcontracting, to put it in more layman's terms, people that you're paying cash, right? You're just paying them to help you out. Really, the term should be your subcontractor or your 1099. And there's documentation that I really would like you guys to have on these, you know, subcontractors, which is the first one is going to be that they complete a W-9 for you. Okay, on this W-9, they are going to, specifically, they can enter either their social security number or their employer identification number, okay, or their EIN. And this is their company. It's pretty much their business's social security number.
Right.
And in my experience, guys, it's always going to look better when you are subcontracting to a company, not a person.
And you would know that if they have an EIN number.
Yes. If they have an EIN number, they have a company, and it would lead us into the following insurances that you must request, because they have a company, which is going to be a general liability certificate of insurance, something that you must request.
And that's something that they had to prove and they had to get, just like I would have to get as a business owner.
Yes, just okay. Like you as a business owner, for your company, you have general liability. Your subcontractor must be treated the same. They have their own general liability insurance. You must request a certificate. Secondly, you're going to request a workers' comp insurance certificate. Okay, this shows that they have an active workers' comp policy to cover their employees. Okay, because again, they're a different company.
Right. They're another company, yep, working with you. So every company has to have all the same things, and you're making sure that the person that, yes, you're subcontracting, that's on your job,
yes,
is covered. And I know we didn't talk about this, but then what if their insurance lapses and they're not covered? That gets into a whole nother can of worms, I'm sure.
That's probably a different show.
Oh, okay, all right.
But it is very important, and that's why, you know.
But this is why we want to make sure, yes, that they have those, because now we've opened up a whole nother thing.
That's exactly it. And you can always, there's more and more layers of exposure and vulnerability that you're opening up as a business owner. So that's why step one, you're requesting these active insurance policies from your subcontractors.
So no matter who has actually done the qualifications, no matter whom has been certified, at the end of the year, I know this from my experience some time ago, and that's why I'm asking now, is because to make sure that I've got a healthy, prosperous organization, I now have to go and prove up what you talked about earlier was estimation. I got to prove that, yes, at some point.
Yes, and it's and that's called the almighty popular audit.
Ugly word.
Oh yes, and this audit, it's not a bad audit. It's not something that you're in trouble for. It's an audit you have to go through if you have a workers' comp policy. If you guys remember in the beginning when we started on how this whole process works, you must provide an estimate, and you're paying premium on an estimate.
So basically, if you didn't estimate quite right, the audit's maybe going to help you save.
It could help you save. Or it could help you, or not help you, spend.
Well, yeah. Yep. But if I've done everything right through the year, and I've taken care of everything right and had it, the audit's not something to fret. It's actually to protect me.
It should actually protect you, and exactly, it could actually possibly save you money. But like Dave said, that is if you're doing it the right way, you're being proactive, one of Dave's favorite words, throughout the entire year to protect yourself.
Okay, so can you give us a list of the rundown of what's on that audit?
So what's on this list, on this audit, okay, and you guys are going to be, you're going to love this. It's going to be your quarterly state and federal payroll tax reports, okay, your individual payroll and overtime records, okay, as well as the amount you've paid your subcontractors, certificates of insurance that you've taken from these subcontractors,
right,
as well as your bank statements. They can possibly ask for that as well. It's all on the checklist.
It's all on this checklist.
They may not have to go through every single line item on this list, but they can if they want to.
You know what? And I just thought of this, and you're making me appreciate somebody else's job a whole lot right now. You know, we've got a comptroller here, and I'm sure that this is a lot of his job here at our, you know, we've got 50 employees. We have different people. And I'm like, I'm appreciating his job a whole lot more just listening to you go through all this. And I'm not going to tell you that I did that, Dan. You know, hey, that's not you. Okay. Go ahead and get that out of there. Anyway, you know, so we've got the audit letter, and, you know, we've got that, you know, and everybody thinks of this, an audit. They're in here to look at everything, but literally that is true.
It is true. And what I really want to point out when I mentioned about the subcontracting and how important it is, why I thought that's where, you know, in a business owner's open up to the most vulnerability on the subcontracting side, is because really, if you're doing your payroll taxes right, you're paying IRS, your state of Florida, you can't really lowball those numbers throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's already there. It's that 20% that can get me in trouble.
And it's that 20% that really opens you up. Because what they're really looking for when on the other line items that have nothing to do with payroll W-2, you know, employees, which is going to be your sub, they were requesting all the amounts that you did for your subcontracting, the certificates of insurance. Now, what they're looking for is the amount of subcontractors you use throughout the year. And that's where usually, in my experience, where I see my clients get in trouble and they're paying large amounts of back premiums is on the subcontracting side, because they did so much of that throughout the year.
Yeah, I didn't realize until you and I started talking that there had to be that much subcontracting that actually went on in business. But apparently, you keep talking about it, so there must be quite a bit of it.
It is quite common. And throughout the year, if you're not requesting these certificates of insurance from the people you're subcontracting, you're going to have to pay after this audit or during the audit for all the wages, all the amounts that you've paid for these subcontractors. So back to the 80-20 rule. If you're doing $100,000 in payroll, $80,000 W-2, $20,000
1099. Boy, it's hard when you say that to actually think that, you know, 20% could actually trip up my whole business. That's bad. But you know, that's not the really the bad thing is. The bad thing is a lot of people just don't document. And I hear what you're saying. You know, whether you do this electronically or, you know, through the old file cabinet or if you do a little bit of both. I mean, how we report, how we keep the documentation is not important. It's document.
It's just doing it. And I know it's, you know, it's not the funnest thing to do for a business owner. You're busy trying to get new jobs, make more money. But it's the part that's really can really save your company or hurt your company is the documentation. Working for an HR company, it's the most important thing that we go through with all our clients on documentation. Even just besides workers' comp, documentation on everything you're doing with your employees, it's what we can really save or hurt your company and can possibly close your doors if you're not doing it properly throughout the year.
So what we're talking about here is for small businesses, folks, those that are just getting started, those that maybe are in the first few months, those that are thinking about getting into it,
yep,
make sure that you get somebody like Raul on your side, somebody that can help you and steer you down the path correctly before you go, because this is mandated. You have to have it. You can't do business in the U.S. without this. Now, I know that we said that we were going to talk about all kinds of other things. And I think in Raul's HR bag of tricks, that you got other things that we can talk about on another show.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we can go into handbooks, job descriptions. It's never ending, list of items that are coming up in HR.
Well, I appreciate you being here and having time with us this afternoon. If you're looking for professional development from us, just like what we've been talking about, we now have 5 locations for the Academy. We have Atlanta, Tampa, Lakeland, Kissimmee, and right here in Orlando. So if you need to look up any one of those, go to academyofcleaning.com. That's our website. You can find our live classes there, and we even have some online ones. But you know what? If you're looking for something a little bit outside the box, and you want to maybe take a little bit of time away from the workplace, come to our master certification cruise this February. We're going to the Bahamas on a cruise ship. You won't have to look at the four walls the same way. I can guarantee you, you'll never be to another 5-day conference like this again in your life. Anyway, check out our Facebook page for the Academy. Like and share that page if you will. We also have our LinkedIn page for those who do not work on Facebook. For those entrepreneurs there, go to our LinkedIn page and find out what's coming up next. Now, if you're in the cleaning industry and you've been watching this, you probably already know about the ISSA show that's going to be next week. We're going to leave here on the 10th, traveling to Vegas. Show starts on the 11th and goes through the 14th. For the first time, the Academy of Cleaning Excellence will have our booth at number 408. We want you to come by and see us and schedule some time to meet with us and talk with us. Now, next Friday, I'm going to be joined right here in studio with Don Tracy. You know, Don's been consulting directly with clients for, well, several decades. That's the best way I can say it. Hey, and I can say it that way because I've done the same thing. He has a perspective on the way that we deal with individuals in the workplace. Should be an interesting conversation
with Papa Don. Anyway, so until next Friday afternoon, 1 p.m. right here, live from Orlando, I'm Dave Thompson. Keep changing your future. Keep those changes healthy, positive, and proactive. And remember my mantra, I am a janitor and I save lives. Thanks for watching. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.